Hi, my name is Jackie. I'm part of the Careers and Employability team here at the Open University. This is the second in our series of podcasts looking at employment challenges and the support available if you're a blind and partially sighted student. This is podcast two, Getting In, Online Applications and Disclosing a Disability. I'd just like to welcome and say thanks to Nigel Townley, who's Employment Manager, and Tracy Mimner, Technology Advisor from the RNIB, who have worked with us on this recording.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi. So the first part, in the careers team at the Open University, we support students with looking for and applying for work. We find the application process is nearly always online now, including completion of online forms, psychometric tests, and video interviews. The online nature of the job search process can bring both advantages and disadvantages to people with sight loss. Do you have any examples of challenges and how these could be overcome?
Yes, so the first thing to say is that some elements of the recruitment process are fairly accessible. So, for instance, if somebody has to do a video interview, mostly that would be an accessible way of getting interviewed over the video online. But examples of challenges could be the actual application form. So every employer will have a different method of how they want their application form filled in. Some it might be that you're completing an actual online web-based form. For others, they might want you to download a Word document or a PDF. So some of these can be hard to navigate for people with sight loss without an assistance. So a way to overcome that would be to use suitable software to assist you to complete the application form online. An example of suitable software could be the free assistive technology that's built into Windows. So it could be using the magnifier to just increase the size of everything when you're completing the application form. It could be maybe using the built-in narrator feature within Windows, which would allow you to read the text back after you've typed it up to proofread it, or equally as you're typing it to get it read back to you whilst you type it. Another example of a free one would be NVDA for people with sight loss who need to use a screen reader then to assist with filling in the application form. Other assistive technology that could help would be the likes of Zoom Text, which is a paid-for package, and that would allow you to do things like increase the size of your pointer, and to allow you to put cursor enhancements on, which would allow you to track as you're editing the application form as well. So again, there's a variety of different types of options there and different assistive technology which can help with actually completing the application form. Another example then is that if it's still not accessible, it's important to go back to the employer because under the terms of the Equality Act and the Disability Discrimination Act, employers should always ensure that application forms are made available in accessible formats. So it could be that you maybe can request it in a braille format if that's what suits you, or you could request it in large print, or equally you could request it in audio. And if it's an audio, you could even record your answers back in audio as well. So again, it's just about making it what's accessible for you and working with the employer to make sure that it's in an accessible format. And don't be afraid to go back to the employer to ask for those adjustments at the recruitment stage. Another challenge that we have thought about could be, for example, if you're expected to complete a psychometric test online, sometimes some elements of the psychometric test may not be compatible with the types of software that you would need to use, such as Zoom Text or the built-in magnification software in Windows. And again, to overcome that, it would be a reasonable adjustment for the employer to accommodate the blind or partially sighted applicant by making an element that's not accessible into a different format that is accessible. So, for instance, if they had maybe asked you in the psychometric test to move shapes around to assess your lateral thinking skills, that wouldn't maybe be accessible to somebody who was using JAWS screen reading software. So, what you could do is go back to the employer and tell them, and again, it's their requirement under DDA and the Equality Act to make sure that that is in an accessible format to you. So, they could change the process and exclude that question or include an alternative one which would assess your lateral thinking skills but in an accessible way.
That sounds great, Tracy. Was there anything else you wanted to add there or
No, I think that's everything.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's brilliant. That's really, really good advice for our students. So thanks ever so much for that. So, some students worry about disclosing early in the application process. I mean, it sounds like there are benefits to disclosing early in the job seeking process. What do you think those benefits could be, and what do you think the best way to approach this could be, Nigel?
Well, you don't have to tell an employer about your disability. It's up to you to decide if and at what point in the application process you tell them. Now, some application forms will ask specifically if you have a disability, and it's really up to you at that point to decide if you disclose or not. So there are many good reasons for disclosing. So if you disclose your disability, the Equality Act or DDA Northern Ireland protects you from unlawful discrimination. So if you disclose your disability and then you feel you've been treated unfairly, it might be easy to prove that you've been discriminated against. And the Equality Act duty to make reasonable adjustments only applies if the employer knows about it. So if you're disabled or you need a reasonable adjustment, and this remember that this might be to help you complete an interview, that the employer does not have to provide this unless they know about it. So there's a sort of a couple of positives related to the Equality Act. Access to work, which I think has been discussed in another podcast. You can get access to work funding from Access to Work for any specialist equipment or extra transport costs. So by openly disclosing your disability, you'll be able to raise your employer's awareness to Access to Work. There's also something called the Disability Confidence Scheme, and this replaced some of the listeners might remember the Positive About Disability Two Tick Scheme. Well, the Disability Confidence Scheme replaced this in 2016, and basically, they will interview an applicant with a disability if they meet the essential criteria on the person's specification. So they would have to disclose at that point. There's also it's useful sometimes to share positive aspects of your disability. Your disability may have helped you with, you might have had unique experiences, or you might have a unique skills or really good skills. So, for example, sight loss, you might mean you have excellent IT skills or organizational skills. So those are the reasons for disclosing. And I think if you do disclose, you really need to come up with a strategy. So if you do decide to tell a potential employer about your disability, the next stage is to establish at what point you do that. So I'm going to go through a few scenarios. So the CVs, I don't think it's necessary to mention your disability on your CV. You may feel that an employer will see your disability as the most important thing rather than focusing on your skills. So I wouldn't put it on there. On an application form, some application forms ask direct questions about your disability, so you can consider what details you choose to include and at what stage. A recommendation I would give is that if you are going to disclose your disability, is maybe give a little bit more background information about it. So rather than just saying, I'm blind or I'm partially sighted or registered blind or partially sighted, you might say that I am registered blind. But I can see, you might say I've got a sight problem or something like that, and to give the employer an idea of what more an idea of your sight loss, you could say, but I'm able to read standard size print, or I can use a computer with specialist software that is provided by Access to Work. There's no issue with that. There's also within the application form, there's usually an equal opportunities monitoring form. So I think it's fine to fill that out because these forms are not used to judge the application and are separated from the form. So the person the sorting the applications, they won't generally see that. Now, when we get to the interview stage, it's important to focus at interview on the ways in which you fit the requirement for the job rather than your disability. So during an interview, you should be prepared to talk positively about your disability and be able to highlight the range of the support and equipment that's available. So that would be access to work and software and all sorts of things. So it's often easier to give the employer the answers to the questions they might not even dare to ask, and it will put them at ease. So, in summary, you don't have to tell an employer about your disability. By not saying anything, it may mean that you face less discrimination, but it also takes away some of the obligations of the employer. It might be a good idea to form a disclosure strategy where you plan how to tell an employer. This means that you can be positive about your disability on your terms and retain a focus on your own skills and abilities.
Okay, thanks Nigel, that's great, that's really good advice again. So it sounds like there's, like you say, various reasons for disclosing early in terms of sort of, you know, being able to talk positively about your own disability and get support from the Equality Act, etc.
Yes.
But that's great advice for our students, so thanks very much for that. So thanks Nigel and Tracy from the RNIB for being involved, that's really great. I'm sure our students will have found that all really useful. Do remember you can use our service all through your studies and up to 3 years after qualifying, and you can check our website at open.ac.uk/careers for more information. But yeah, thanks again to Nigel and Tracy for that.